Hi everybody, it's Barry here again from Turning the Page, and just want to say thank you for turning up and listening or watching this latest episode of my blog, Turning the Page. And today's topic is about probably a topic that I learned early on in my days when I was a mental health worker, and then carried it over into my pastoral work and pretty much a lot of my areas of my work and life. And it's all about power, a power over or power with. And power over, you know, it's normal, but power with is actually something a little bit different, actually something that we actually all need. And I think of someone, you know, that I used to sort of give support to, and, you know, she is quite short, she is small in stature, and I think she also saw herself as quite short in stature, as not really being significant. She was also very quiet and never really said much or offered an opinion. And when she did share some of her story, and I learned it, that she actually as a young adult she had struggled with schizophrenia, and she still did have voices. And in her delusional state, when she became first unwell, she had been incredibly destructive and done some people's property damage. And she had been committed into living into a mental health hospital and lived there for many years. And in an environment like that, one of those old mental health hospitals, you lose your power and you can even lose your identity. You're told to do this and you do that, and if you do that, the world will be safe. You're sort of straitjacketed, secure, but it's safe nonetheless. But I always made it a point to actually seek out her opinion. Not the surface opinion, but her deeper views. And deeper down, under the self-belief that she had, that her opinion didn't matter. You know, there was real gold to be had under all those layers of power abuses that she'd experienced. Yet in mental health work and in much of life, we need to understand the role of power and who has it and how it is used. Power over and power with. Power over, that's a form of power that's sort of like top down, being told what to do. You know, bullying, domination, control, authority. You see it everywhere because it's so easy to do. There's no need for negotiation. You know, it's my way or the highway. Win, lose, where I win and you lose. I know what's best for you. You know, this type of power is enforced in so many ways. You know, it could be by controlling the resources, you know, and you need to live with, like money, the food, your shelter, your medical care. Or it could be more subtle by controlling information or power or approval and love. You know, we often only become aware of its functioning when we see it in its extreme, the bully and the battered wife. Sometimes, you know, particularly in mental health care, it is actually needed. You know, when someone is unwell, they may not have the rational ability to make informed decisions. For their safety and the safety of others, they have to receive compulsory enforced health care, and I've seen that done a few times, and it's sad, but the person is just not well enough to actually make an informed decision. I remember talking with people who were having psychotic episodes who thought they were perfectly well, yet everyone else could see that they had lost contact with reality. You know, they were hearing and seeing things and even tasting things that no one else was experiencing, and this was leading them to want to do some dangerous things and for themselves and for people that they actually probably cared about. There had to be an intervention for their sakes as well as the people and society as a whole. Then there's power with. Well, this is the sharing of power to make a decision about what to do. It grows out of the soil of listening. There is mutual respect and support for each other. There's a valuing of each other's opinions and a desire to learn more. In a power with relationship, questions are asked. Can we work on this together? Please tell me more. Help me understand. Did I understand you correctly? Have you any questions for me? Is there anything else that anything you don't understand at what I've said? Why does this matter so much for mental health? Well, for someone who becomes unwell with mental illness, often they lose a great deal of power. People with all the best intentions in the world tell them what they should do. Go to the doctor, read this book, try this herbal remedy. In looking for help, they may get all the advice but little support in working through the options. Often there is a disconnect with an inability to do anything about their situation. They don't know about the options that are available to them. Many times I've sat with people who have been confused about their mental wellness. The best message I have given them is this: I don't know what is going on either, but together we can find a way through. Then we talk about options, such as going to see the doctor, the GP, or contacting someone who might know a little bit more, you know, and going together and talking about it. Here's a sort of another question alongside. It's all about, is God power over or power with? That's a tricky one. Yeah, I believe that how we view God is actually how you view everything. If you think God is a distant old man in the sky raining power over, lightning bolts down on us, then that is going to colour everything in your thinking. For me, I believe that God is in a power with relationship. We may be looking for the miracle power over encounters of healing, when all along God offers us miracle moments of power with love and grace. John, in the book of John, he writes at this: the word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. That was from the Message. I like that little term, moved into the neighborhood. In the Greek, it says that God came and tabernacled with us. A tabernacle is a tent, right? So I see sort of like it's coming into the summertime here in Auckland, and people go away on holidays, summer holidays, and they set up a tent in a campsite. And I view this like that we're going up for a tent, and God comes into the campsite and sets up a tent next to mine. And you know, we share a few sausages, maybe have a few beers, listen to the cricket, which is a sport I particularly enjoy, and maybe go fishing together. You know, the presence of God tenting with me, power with me, empowers me to express this power with relationship with others. There's an invitation to empowerment. The invitation is to notice those moments when you want to quickly power over others. Why do you want to do this? You know, is it a time thing? Is it a like, I've got to do this so I can get out of this situation? Then I suggest you pull back and look for ways in which you can develop a power with relationship. You know, it starts with listening, asking good questions and providing information that will keep the dialogue going. Empowerment of others may mean a lessening of your own self. It may mean putting your needs, putting the needs of the others in front of your needs. It may mean taking the back seat so others can learn to drive. But hey, then you can enjoy the scenery. So how are you at with power with or power over? It's so easy to do power over. But power with takes a little bit more intentionality and thinking through. Hey, here's some quotes I'd like you to consider. If you want to build a ship, don't drum up people to collect wood and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Sorry, don't know French. Jim Wallace has a couple of quotes from him. Whom do we listen to and whom do we trust? Trust is essential to listening. And why do we believe the myth that poor people don't know anything and can't be trusted? Where do you really find more truth about society? At the top or at the bottom? Are the best solutions conceived in the corridors of power or in the neighborhoods? Then there's another quote from him. Only those willing to stand close enough to listen will ever hear those closest to the problem. Here's a quote from Terence Real. Research teaches us that the capacity to reach out to others for help in dealing with fear and pain is the best single remedy for emotional injury. Whether the person is struggling with the effects of combat, rape, or childhood injury, the best predictor of trauma resolution is good social support. And the final quote, of course, from C.S. Lewis, friendship is born in that moment when one person says to another, "What, you too? I thought I was the only one." Some questions. What examples of power over and power with can you think of? Why do we use power over as a default method within our relationships? 3. What would it take for you to adopt a power with relationship with others? Hey, I hope you found this helpful. And you may like to come over and read the blog post over on turningthepage.info and send me a tweet or email me at barry@turningthepage.info. And I'd just really want to say big thank you for all the people who support Turning the Page, particularly on Patreon. It's only $1 a month, but every little dollar helps. It just supports me and says, "Yay! We believe in you, Barry. We think you're great and want you to keep doing what you're doing." Okay, have a good week, and we'll catch up with you next week. Bye.